coming Wednesday, April 14th, and Thursday, April 15th, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour Bible study from 4 in the afternoon Central Time on April 14th through 4 in the afternoon Central on April 15th. Issues Etc. 24, Wednesday, April 14th, and Thursday, April 15th. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
As Easter begins and Passover comes to a close, let us remain ever mindful of the unity of purpose and the common bond for which they sacrificed all they had and for which so many others have sacrificed so much.
Peter was the original Jonas brother, and his brother Andrew was the other, and they were followers of Jesus.
Happy Easter, everybody. How you doing? We want to thank Pastor Rick Warren for having us. We are so blessed to be here.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
I dare say that sex education has been controversial since it became mainstream curriculum in the public school system and in the general school system. There are debates about how it ought to be done, how young the children ought to be when they are first introduced to the concepts in sex ed, and then there are questions about whether or not sex education should include an urge toward abstinence. And so many say it doesn't work to tell kids to wait. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking about a battle over sex education in Juneau County, Wisconsin, with Wendy Wright of Concerned Women for America here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. this Monday afternoon, April the 12th. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Mark Hemingway of the Washington Examiner will join us after that to talk about this weekend's Southern Republican Leadership Conference. And then we'll round off this hour talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute about fatherhood and the shifting definition of parenthood. Some are saying that if you look at the research, fathers are not only unnecessary and interchangeable with mothers, but if it's a heterosexual male, it may be detrimental to the children. We'll see what Jennifer has to say about that a little bit later. Joining us to talk about a battle over sex education in Wisconsin, Wendy Wright, president of Concerned Women for America, based in Washington, D.C. Wendy, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be on.
Mike Taki, who's taught sex ed for 30 years in Mauston, Wisconsin, says he knows what doesn't work, telling kids to wait. Your response?
Well, I think he needs to get up to date on the latest research. In fact, there was a study that just came out this year that showed that abstinence education is superior to the comprehensive sex ed. They found that when students were taught from the abstinence-only programs, that they were much less likely to initiate sexual activity. And that's the key, is initiation, because once kids become sexually active, they're much more likely to continue and to not only continue in sex, but to engage in other kinds of activity that are detrimental, such as experimenting with alcohol and drugs. So whatever we can do to encourage kids not to initiate sexual activity is overall better for their health. So I think Mike Taki is a little behind the times. He needs to read up on the best and most recent research. In fact, this research was so striking that it forced even our politicians to take a second look at the whole issue. And even the Obama administration, who has touted its policy as making science a primary, basing decisions on what the science says, that they've now had to look at whether the funding should follow what works.
So what's the story out of Juneau County, Wisconsin, on sex ed?
Well, I think this is quite fascinating that there is a district attorney in Juneau County, Wisconsin, who said that he sent a warning letter to school teachers that said if they were to follow a new law that's been put in place that requires the teaching of comprehensive sex ed, that it could actually put them at risk of getting arrested. And that's because there are also laws on the books in Wisconsin that kids are not to engage in sexual activity. I think he's taking a very bold and a right stand, a correct stand. Now, one thing I find in the news reporting on this issue is that the media is not completely honest when it comes to what's being taught in comprehensive sex ed programs. They kind of dance around it a bit. They say that it's teaching the kids about contraception, about birth control. Well, that's only part of the story. And I think one of the problems is if the news media were to report on the kinds of things that's actually taught in these comprehensive sex ed programs, that they'd have to censor themselves. It's too graphic. It's not the kinds of things that you want to hear about on Christian radio and you don't want to read about in the newspapers. But I'll tell you that it is so offensive what's in some of this curriculum that when I was in a meeting with the Obama White House and I described one of the things that comprehensive sex ed programs teach kindergartners, that the jaws dropped in the room, and the Obama White House officials later asked me for the proof of it, which I was able to show them.
Okay, so is it a choice between the graphic, the kind of even makes seasoned political veterans of Washington, D.C.'s jaws drop, and abstinence-only education? Is it that blank of a choice? Because I think that those who are proponents of kind of let's teach them everything as early as we can want it to be a choice between the two completely, and they want it to be a clear choice against abstinence altogether.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it really is become a clear choice because of who is creating this curriculum. Now, the primary creator of this curriculum is a group called SECUS, the Sexuality Information Education Council of the United States. Anyone can go onto their website, look up their curriculum, and they're the ones that have promoted this idea of age-appropriate sex ed. Doesn't that sound good? And it's the kind of thing that everyone will buy into. Yeah, age-appropriate, because we project our own views of what we consider to be age-appropriate, and we assume that the teachers and those who are creating the curriculum wouldn't teach anything that was inappropriate. But that's how they've gotten away with creating curriculum that is so incredibly offensive and literally steals the innocence of children. And it's because they've gotten a blank check through this concept of promoting what's age appropriate. So it seems like the only way that parents and teachers and legislators can be the most protective of kids is to not agree with this concept or go along with teaching comprehensive sex ed, because comprehensive sex ed is the same as teaching kids some pretty offensive stuff.
What I guess as a parent I find distressing about it is that it seems as though my decision as to when and how my children, should be taught these things is, in essence, taken away from me.
Mm-hmm. You're right. The legislators pass these bills. They may not even know what it is that they're okaying. And then you as a parent oftentimes are not allowed to know what's being taught your child. There was one curriculum that was produced by the Centers for Disease Control, a federal agency, that was called Programs That Work. Doesn't that sound good? Sounds like they've been tested that actually have proven to work. Well, included in the program was not only some of the kind of offensive stuff that I've alluded to, but also the teachers were required to sign a statement that they would not tell the parents what was being taught to the children. And the children in the school children were required to agree prior to the teaching of this curriculum that they would not tell their parents what they were being taught. There was a code of silence written into the curriculum. So parents really do have their work cut out for them to ensure and find out what their kids are being taught in schools. And really, I think probably the safest measure to be most cautious is opt your kids out preemptively, engage yourself, and ensure the teachers that you will direct the upbringing of your child when it comes to sex ed.
Are the teachers the villains here?
Yes and no. It depends on the teacher. I think we just can't have a blanket statement across the board. I don't think all legislators are the villains. They probably just didn't do their homework and were assuaged by the lobbyists who came to them and said that this is good for children. So I think that many of the teachers are not necessarily aware of the kinds of things that are being taught. Mike Taki, I don't know what it is he's teaching the kids, but I certainly would want to take a look at it before just handing him the reins to my child's education.
We began by talking about Mike Taki, who's taught sex ed for 30 years. He also says that the district attorney's action in Juneau County, this warning letter that was sent to him and other teachers, quote, seems like a step back in time. Your response with 1 minute.
Well, if a step back in time means back to a time where there were fewer unwed teenage pregnancies, back to a time when there were only 2 sexually transmitted diseases rather than the over 30 that we have now, back to a time before AIDS and HIV, I guess I'd say maybe that's not such a bad thing. If there could be taking a step back in time to when our children's innocence was respected and children were not viewed as sexual objects or sexual beings that not only should be taught about sex but should be encouraged to engage in it, then I think that's a time that many of us and most parents would want to go back to.
Wendy Wright is president of Concerned Women for America, based in Washington, D.C. We'll post a link to Concerned Women for America at issuesetc.org. Wendy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, Mark Hemingway is going to be joining us. He's editorial page writer for the Washington Examiner. Talk about this weekend's Southern Republican Leadership Conference. Of course, this is interesting to look at what some might call a stunning defeat when it came to health care legislation that looked like it was alive and then dead and then alive and then dead and then at the very last minute managed to garner just enough votes to get through. And now the Republicans in apparent disarray. One of the things they're facing, of course, is what to do with an inevitable nomination for the Supreme Court, given the eventual absence of John Paul Stevens from the court. Do they fight? Do they keep the powder dry? Do they sit on their hands? Will it make any difference? We'll talk about the Republican Leadership Conference, the Southern Republican Leadership Conference, with Mark Hemingway of the Washington Examiner right after this. Do you find the book of Revelation to be discomforting, discouraging, and downright difficult? Well, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a lay-friendly commentary on Revelation. It's titled Concordia Popular Commentary, Revelation. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Concordia Popular Commentary, Revelation by Dr. Lewis Brighton. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April.
Why do you listen to Issues Etc.? We're preparing for a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. on Wednesday, April 14th and Thursday, April 15th, and we want to hear from you. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8384. Why do you listen to Issues Etc.? 618-223-8384.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.